Today we're going to be talking about why the mini plug is important for filmmakers. So, first of all, why is a 3.5mm audio plug important, in my opinion? Well, the 3.5mm plug, otherwise known as a mini plug, is important, in my opinion, because many cameras in the price range that I recommend have a 3.5mm audio input. Not only cameras, but certain HDMI recorders, such as the Atomos recorders in the Ninja V range, also the older Ninja 2 that I use, these have a 3.5mm input. Now, there's more to the reason for why it's important, but let's just get into that real quick. If a lot of these cameras that are in my price range and in the range that I recommend have only a 3.5 input, then there's still a benefit to run a microphone, let's say to a XLR recorder such as the Zoom H5, and then to pass it through as 3.5, because you're getting shielding on your cable all the way from the mic down your boom pole or whatever, and then into the Zoom H5, getting perfect audio in the recording that's in the Zoom H5, but it's only the pass-through has the potential of having interference be introduced because the cable's not shielded. And interference would be radio frequency interference, Wi-Fi, cell phones, things of that sort that could cause interference. You know, it's that sound, similar to that sound we used to hear in our computer speakers when you put a cell phone close to your computer speakers. You know, it's a type of a sound. Now, when you deal with, just as a side note, by the way, the Tascam DR40, I've had this recorder 3 times, and I've sold it every time. And I kept trying to convince myself that I could make it work. But nothing against Tascam. I now have the DR60D, and that's a lot different as far as form factor. The DR40D, version 1, haven't tried the X version. I would like to hear if someone has tried the DR40X, the newer one, and does that have the same problems with shielding. But what would happen with the DR40 is I would put it, the first time before I knew it had a problem, had a cell phone sitting, maybe 3 or 4 feet from it. And it was during recording an event, a stage show, like a play or something like that. And the entire recording, unfortunately, had cell phone interference in it. You know, like I mentioned, that sort of stuttering interference sound. Well, if we talk about the value of this recorder in an environment that everyone turns off their cell phones and you've got, shielding in your house, or I'm not sure exactly what it would take these days, but because Wi-Fi and cellular tower signals and everything are increasing in intensity, this recorder, I think, is becoming less valuable in that sense. Like I say, I haven't used the newest version, so hopefully they fix that problem. But that is what radio frequency interference can do to your recording, is really mess it up. And that was when I just had the recorder using its built-in microphone. So if you plug something into it, there's another area that you can get interference, and that would be in the cable between the microphone and the recorder itself. So that was just straight into the recorder having a problem. And then let's talk about another recorder that has had a problem in a different scenario. That is the Zoom H4N, not the H4N Pro. Haven't tested that one. That's the newest version. But the Zoom H4N, I had a very inexpensive handheld wireless microphone. It's the Fifine K025. I have a couple of these, and I've used them just in a pinch because they were about $40, and they did a fairly good job at close proximity. And I shouldn't say close proximity, that's the wrong term, because proximity means when you hold a mic close to your mouth, and these do not perform very well at close proximity. But a close distance between the transmitter on the microphone and the receiver, it worked pretty well. And why I use that is because it has a quarter inch plug as the receiver. So you can plug that into your Zoom H4 or H5 or an audio interface with XLR TRS combo jacks and have a really fast setup. So a lot of microphones, they'll have handheld microphones, that is, they will have a little station, and the station, you need to plug it into power, and that has to sit on top of something, and so it's not really portable, whereas these little things had, you know, just the ability to, they're very lightweight, and so you just plug in that receiver into your Zoom recorder. Well, I was trying it with the Zoom H5, and for some reason I went back to buy an older Zoom H4. I liked the Zoom H4 because it had a gain with a numeric indicator, meaning you would see the number, the gain would be going up one, you know, from 0 to 100, and I liked the ability to figure out for a certain situation what number exactly works best for that recorder. So that's why I also like the older Zoom H1. But the Zoom H4N with that microphone receiver plugged into it had interference, and unfortunately the first time I tried it, I was on a location shoot, and I could hear it in my headphones. I was monitoring, and I could see it on the gain indicator. I mean, I could see it on the screen, and I thought, what's going on? The waveform was flickering and things of that sort. So shielding is a big issue for not only the recorder, but now let's talk about for the cable, because this is the big contention about 3.5 millimeter cables. They're not shielded. Now, at the end of this, I'm going to just throw a question in, and I'm going to hint at it right now, but oh, wouldn't it be great if someone could invent a 3.5 millimeter balance cable? But we're going to ask that a question again at the end. So right now we're talking about the fact that 3.5 millimeter cable is not shielded. So most of us know 3.5 as, you know, the typical headphone jack. We also know it as an auxiliary cable. It's the least expensive. That's why I call it, you know, it's despised by many people. It's sort of the low end. But I'm emphasizing how important 3.5 millimeter cables and plugs and the interface of 3.5 is an important interface to learn, because you need to learn the limitations. You need to learn the positive things. It's important because, like I mentioned, most cameras in this budget price range that I'm recommending have a 3.5 millimeter input. So there's no getting around that. And then other devices, such as the Zoom H1, the Zoom F1, that I highly recommend, also have a 3.5 millimeter input. Not only that, most of the wireless microphones, even the Sennheiser, you know, the really good quality Sennheiser mics, they have a 3.5 millimeter connection as well. So 3.5 is not, you know, it's not like boycotted by all the high-end gear. It's just that it has the vulnerability of not being shielded. So it's really important to know how to work with it, and but to not just, you know, to write it off. Now, let's talk about a lot of, I've got a note here to say there's a lot of little hacks that you can do with 3.5 millimeter interfaces, plugs, and cable that you kind of, if you can not despise it and you can figure out how to make it work, it can really create a lot of tricks. And let me just give you a few. Now, these are not recommended for beginners. They're not even recommended for advanced people who know what they're doing, because I'm sure you probably figure out a better way, but these are easy ways to sort of hack this system for 3.5. The first one might throw you into a tailspin here. I might even make another video about it, because it's an idea that I'm on the fence about whether it's a good idea or not, but I'm going to tell you as an example of a 3.5 millimeter hack, okay? Well, wait a minute. Should I just give you a legit one first before I give you a bad one? I think so. Let me give you a good one first, and I'll save my questionable one for after that, so you can laugh at me in a second. Okay. So the one that I do feel confident about is using a whether it's a Zoom H1 or a Zoom F1 or even a Zoom H5 as a pass-through to go to your camera. So I mentioned these cameras that have 3.5 millimeter as their input. Cameras in this price range are the Panasonic G85, the G95. Let's go back to the G7, the GH3, the GH2 had a 2.5 millimeter input. That's sort of an odd thing, but you notice the next version, the GH3, they moved to 3.5 mic input. Then the Panasonic FZ1000, the FC1000 version 2, the FC2500, those are all 3.5 millimeter inputs. And it's just a great thing even to have a mic input on a camera in that price range. So we have to learn to deal with it. So there's a benefit to having a pass-through into your camera. But there's one more thing, too. Let's talk about one of my favorite techniques for backing up audio and video, but mostly video, because audio backup can be on a separate device. But for backing up video, I use an Atomos recorder. And I'm not going to get into the details of why I use this next piece, but I use an HDMI switcher on top of it to bring multiple cameras into it, and then I switch which camera's going into it. So now the HDMI recorder can capture multiple cameras, just one recorder, multiple cameras. But for audio, you need to run a line into that. So let's talk about why 3.5 millimeter plugs are important in this area. And then let's give you this little story, short story, about why Atomos, I don't know why Atomos did this, but they created a proprietary XLR input that is on one of the recorders I have. That is the Atomos Ninja Inferno. So I wish I would have purchased the Atomos Ninja V or the Ninja 5 instead of the Inferno, because I know the screen is smaller, but it has a 3.5 millimeter input for the audio on the Zoom, I'm sorry, on the Atomos Ninja V or 5. Why is that good? Well, because it can do the same thing that I do with my pass-through, either going into a Zoom H5 or a Zoom H1 or F1. It can pass through that and go out of the headphone jack. And the headphone jack then goes out into the camera. Well, in this case, you're going to pass it out into the Atomos recorder. Now, when I said that the Inferno doesn't have a 3.5 millimeter input, why is that a negative? Well, the only negative is that a couple negatives. One, the adapter that they used is proprietary. It's not a standard mini XLR where you could buy a, you know, $50 adapter from someone else. It is a proprietary XLR-ish input. And I think the price range is around $200. Now, I haven't seen any aftermarket. It'd be nice if there was an aftermarket option, but think about it, is $200. Now, the second thing about that is I haven't personally used that because I haven't put out the money to get it, but I hear it sticks out and it is vulnerable to being bumped, and that's not a good thing. I would rather have a right angle mini plug, 3.5 plug, or a even just a short head 3.5 mini plug hanging out that's not going to be likely to be bumped. So maybe it's heavy duty. I don't know. Maybe it's, even if you bump it, it won't have a problem, but I haven't used it. All I know is it's about $200 and it's proprietary to Atomos. So that kind of emphasizes the fact that 3.5 millimeter is better in this scenario. And it's a way to back up your audio and not just back it up, but have three cameras coming in to the Atomos recorder and have a file that's all ready to go. One file or multiple, in this sense it's multiple files, because every time you switch the HDMI switcher, glitches, loses connection and reconnects, so it actually creates a new file every time you switch. It's pretty neat actually. But when we talk about audio, you're going to be syncing the audio. There's a little option in the Atomos recorder to delay the audio. So once you figure out what your delay is going into the Atomos, and you clap or something like that on screen, and then you time, you know, go into your video editor and go to where the clap is and advance one frame at a time until you figure out how far off it is. And then you, in the Atomos recorder, you just simply add the number of frames delay that it's going to be, and it works really well. So that's a 3.5 millimeter input. And I'm using the Zoom, I'm sorry, I keep saying Zoom, but I'm using the Atomos Ninja 2, the older version with a 3.5 input instead of my Inferno in the situations where I need to do this trick, because the Inferno has the expensive XLR-ish input. So that's just where 3.5 is really becoming more, well, I have to use it. I'd say valuable, but it's just essential, I should say. So, and then I mentioned, of course, my favorite basic audio recorder that I recommend to people is 3.5, but it's not only 3.5 output. That is, if you're going to pass it through the headphone output, but it's also a 3.5 input. And I know that's not the best, but let's think about it. Most wireless microphone systems, the little lapel ones, from even Sennheiser, the famous G3 and back to the G2, those are really good. And then even the newer ones, they have a 3.5 millimeter interface. So you can't get around it. And so why does Sennheiser tolerate having an unshielded cable? Well, it's probably because you don't have a long cable run. It's wireless. It just goes from the mic, you know, the lapel mic or whatever, down a person's shirt onto the belt pack, and that's transmitted wirelessly at that point. So they're risking a little bit of interference, and if a person has a cell phone in their pocket or something like that, it can affect it. And I recommend if you're putting a lavalier, wireless or not, in a groom's pocket for a wedding, that you have him put his phone on airplane mode. He should do that anyway. I mean, he should turn off his Wi-Fi signal anyway, or even turn the phone off. But the point is, people are in such a cell phone habit these days that that could be an issue. By the way, side note, if you're putting a Zoom H1 and a wired lapel mic in a groom's pocket, watch out for cell phones, because I have had multiple situations where I had a Zoom H1. One was in a meeting. I had it sitting on a desk, and a person put their cell phone close by, and the entire recording was ruined because it went because cell phones are more powerful than they used to be when the Zoom H1 was designed. So I think there's a little bit more of a problem these days using the Zoom H1 in a groom's, lapel mic with the groom, and putting the Zoom H1 in their pocket. So be careful about that. Request that he turn his phone off to say, you know, the audio won't have all the did. If you want to make that noise, maybe that'll make the point. Okay, so back to 3.5 and why it's important. It's because you have to deal with it for a lot of wireless mics. You have to deal with it for, it's still actually a benefit, like in that situation, if you can get a groom to turn off his phone, you can use a very inexpensive lavalier mic, with the Zoom H1. So that works really well. But I use the Zoom H1 most of the time on top of the camera, not for its built-in mic, but like you say, with the wireless mic transmitting to it, and then it's passing through to the camera. So you're capturing audio onto the Zoom H1, that's one file, and then you're passing it through to the camera, or, as I just mentioned, into the Atomos recorder. So now you've got another copy. Now, I told you I was going to give you my really hacky, not too sure about it idea as well, and here it is. So I had this idea. I'm just going to call it an idea because it's all about me. I came up with this, and I take credit for it if it's a bad idea. And here it is. I had an audio interface, specifically a Roland Rubix 22. And the only recorder I had at the time was a Zoom H1. I had sold my Zoom H4 to someone because they were the audio engineer at work, and they used shotgun mics. They used, they had lapel mics, lavalier mics that were XLR. They're really good quality XLR lavalier mics. So they needed the Zoom H4. I wasn't in the audio business yet. So all I had was a Zoom H1. But yet I had a situation come up where I needed an XLR mic. I started testing vocal mics, doing music rehearsals, things like that. I was wanting to, you know, just run some mics into a little mixer, which I got a very good Behringer mixer, not a very good, but a medium quality Behringer mixer. I think that's the right way to say it. And they have an output on the mixer for, anyway, so I took the mixer, went into the Zoom H1. That worked really well. Well, then when I was portable, I couldn't carry this mixer with me. So the mixer is my first choice if you don't have to be portable. You know, get a mixer. It's got a lot of XLR inputs. It's got preamps and all that. But if you're portable, how do you get an XLR input to go to a 3.5 to transfer that signal to your Zoom H1? Well, there are a lot of products out there that do this. But I told myself, I want to try something that's more common, meaning a piece of equipment that is easier to find. Stuff that's not easier to find is like the Beechtech XLR input, and then it passes it out with a 3.5 output to go to your camera. Beechtech, it's a big company, but it's just, you're not going to find one on Craigslist very frequently, or on OfferUp, or, you know, even at a pawn shop. My criteria for the equipment I use, this is just a side note, but I try to use common equipment first, and if I can make it work with common equipment, I'll stop there. Because why not? Why, you know, search far and wide on the web to find a very unique piece of equipment that when you buy it, you're never going to be, if it was lost or stolen, you're never going to be able to replace it by going to a pawn shop. And I've had to do this. I went on a trip once, a business trip, and I needed one more lens. It's like, oh, I should have purchased this before I left. I needed one more lens. And so just because I had an extra camera and it didn't have a lens, and I was just starting out at the time, and so I had to go to a pawn shop. And I was so thankful that I had, even though it was a Panasonic camera, I had Nikon to Panasonic adapters. So Nikon being the most common lens that you're going to find in a pawn shop, also Canon's pretty common, I was able to just get another lens at a pawn shop. And you wouldn't figure that's what a professional photographer or videographer would do, but that's what I had to do, and it worked. So how do I take XLR and convert it to 3.5 millimeter to go into my camera or my Zoom recorder with common equipment? Well, here's the answer that I came up with that is still in the testing process. Take an audio interface with XLR input, power it by a USB power bank, and it's got to be one that is bus powered. So basically, you know, it doesn't have a power plug on the back that goes to an AC adapter. It's just, you know, they call it bus powered because you normally plug this into your computer's USB port, and the USB supplies both power and transfers the data. So get a bus powered XLR audio interface. Although watch out for the lowest Behringer, because the very low end Behringer, I think it's the UM2 or the, anyway, the very lowest one, even though it's bus powered, it will not turn on unless you plug it into a computer, because it does a software check or something like that, because it's, I don't know. So that one doesn't work with this method. But most audio interfaces that are bus powered, you can plug a power bank into, and as long as the power bank stays on, and some of the ones I have work and some don't, but the cheapest ones do for whatever reason, it'll power the audio interface. And now you have either one or two preamps for XLR mic. And then you say, okay, how does that help you to get the audio into the Zoom H1? Well, here's the real hacky part, and I know some people may not think this is a reliable method, but I take the headphone output jack on the audio interface, go out of that with one of my favorite, or maybe my favorite cable in the world, a Ugreen quarter inch to 3.5, that is quarter inch on one end. It's like the large headphone jack size on one end, and the 3.5, which is like the small headphone jack on the other end, and it's a braided, they claim it's somewhat shielded. Obviously, it's not balanced. We're going to talk about that really quickly in a minute, but it is a thick cable. It feels fairly durable, and I've listened. It sounds better than some other 3.5 cables I have. So Ugreen, I'll put this in the description, Ugreen quarter inch to 3.5 cable coming out of the headphone jack, because most headphone jacks on these audio interfaces are the full size quarter inch headphone jack. That goes into the Zoom H1 3.5 input. And then I monitor out of the headphone jack. Okay. Now, if you want to take this audio interface and hang it on a tripod, which is what I typically have this audio interface in a waist pack. I'll put the waist pack in the description below, because there are certain waist packs that really are conducive to this. They have a, and I'll just put those in the description. And if I make a video in the future showing this hack, you'll see exactly what I'm talking about. But the two, I put a battery pack in the front pocket, and then the main waist pack compartment is where the audio interface goes. Now that, like I said, runs into the Zoom H1. Now there's one trick that you need to know about if you're going to put it in a waist pack, and that is when you plug in the USB to the bottom of this audio interface, you either need a right angle cable so that it doesn't get bumped, because you're going to be putting it the bottom of it down, and the top of it is where you're going to have the headphone jack and the dials and the controls and the input. You're going to want a right angle USB cable on the bottom. The other option is if you want to somehow poke a hole in the bottom of your waist pack and run a straight cable out of there, that's fine, but there's still a risk of being bumped. So I say get a right angle USB cable to come out of your audio interface. That goes to your power bank. And that power bank will make this thing run for quite a while. It doesn't take a lot of power to power these audio interfaces that are bus powered. And then you've got power. And by the way, it really works. And so then you've got to tweak two things, sometimes three. Number one, your gain level, which is normal. You're just setting your dial for the gain level on the audio interface. Number two, which is really critical, but you're probably not going to be in the habit of doing this if you use the audio interface just in the normal way as a headphone output, but you're going to need to find out where on the headphone output you get a clean signal. I have found that it varies based on the audio interface. I've tried this with two or three audio interfaces now, and some have a noisy headphone jack. That is, the headphone amplifier is not clean. And so you've got to turn it way down. Sometimes you're at 9 o'clock on the dial to get this to work. But that still works, and here's why it works. You set your gain at the level that sounds pretty clean. Set your headphone to the level that sounds pretty clean. And then, if you need to boost it a little bit, you've got your Zoom H1 preamp to still work with. So the really neat thing is you're doing multi-stage amplification, and that is sometimes the best way to get a clean signal. So you're not putting all the burden for amplification on one preamp. So now you've got some of the preamp going through the audio interface main preamp. You've got a little bit of the gain going through the headphone output amp. And then you've got, you know, from 0 to 100 on the Zoom H1 to deal with. And so it really works pretty well. I've gotten some very clean signals out of this scenario. Now, what's the downside? There are a few downsides. One downside is when I was doing this with my Roland Rubix 22, for some reason, it broke the USB port. Why? It's probably because I bumped it. Even though I had a right angle cable in there, I bumped it or something happened. And now the solder or connection to the USB cable on the back is not solid. I know someone who knows how to solder could probably fix it. But so this audio interface is now inoperable for an audio interface to my computer. Now the good thing is, and not every audio interface has this, but the good thing is it also has a second USB just for powering it. And it's a micro USB. Unfortunately, it's a little more vulnerable to being bumped, but the micro USB has the job of only powering it. And the reason they do that is because this can be used with an iPad or something like that, where the power is not going to be supplied by the iPad. You're just going to run the data to the iPad, and the power even in that circumstance, it's sort of like, yes, go ahead and use a power bank. So the first time I tried this, I wasn't using this audio interface, and so I didn't know that they actually wanted you to power these with an audio or with a power bank. I thought it was just so weird in that area. So what happened? I switched from using the main full-size USB, the USB-B, the older style, to the micro USB, and now I power it with a power bank from the micro USB. All right. So I killed the Rubix 22 as an audio interface, but now it's just being used for a portable preamp, which is pretty neat. So that's the long version of that hack of how to take an audio interface and turn it into a portable XLR preamp that you can then port into a 3.5 millimeter input. You can even do this to run it into your camera if you want to hang. It's basically, you know, a fanny pack. You take that waist pack and you just hang it around your tripod, and it just sits there. So if you've got your camera on a tripod, you can simply run your XLR into the fanny pack, into the audio interface that's sitting in the fanny pack, and then run your 3.5 cable up to your camera if you want to, or as I do, up into the Atomos. That's if you're not using the Zoom H1, or do both, pass it through. So now you've got two copies of the audio is what I recommend anyway. So sorry for the long hack in that area, but it's kind of interesting. So let's conclude by saying we know that there are other hacks. Well, let's give you one more hack. Not just a hack. This is a real deal. So the Tascam 60D Mark II is what I use. It has a lot of outputs. So the Tascam 60D is the thing that it's a box, and it's supposed to go beneath your camera. I think that they were targeting the Canon 60D probably at the time because I don't know why they named it the 60D at the same time the Canon 60D was the most popular camera out there for doing video of that price range. But it has a pass-through, and it has multiple pass-throughs. It's got a headphone out. It's got a camera out. Let me take a look at it here. It's got multiple outputs. It's got a camera high and a camera low output. It's got a headphone output. So there's so many ways that you can send audio out of this thing, but they're all 3.5 millimeter. There's no full-size XLR output. There's no, you know, full-size TRS output. It's just all 3.5, but there's three different options, so it's pretty neat. So if you use the Tascam 60D, it's a really important thing that you sort of accept the fact that you're going to have to deal with 3.5 millimeter cable. So back to the big contention about 3.5 millimeter cable. It's not shielded, or sorry, I shouldn't say not shielded, it's not balanced. What is balanced? Well, we're going to talk about that in a different podcast episode, but the essential idea is that it's more susceptible to interference, such as radio frequency interference or something of that sort, whereas a balanced cable, which is an XLR or a TRS, XLR being the normal microphone cable we all see, and TRS being it looks like, and here's the catcher, it looks like a large headphone jack, but the difference is it is balanced. And there is a difference. And we're going to talk about that in the other episode where we go into this next question that I'm going to end on, and that is, will someone please invent, or can someone invent, a shielded or balanced 3.5 millimeter audio cable? And again, there's a difference between shielded and balanced really quickly here. There are a number of 3.5 cables like this Ugreen one that I mentioned that's in the description below that is shielded. They put shielding on there. But it's the design of the cable that makes it balanced. That's why the design of the cable is different on XLR and the design is different on a TRS cable. And those are balanced and therefore much more protected from radio frequency interference than a non or unbalanced cable. So we need to learn to use 3.5 millimeter cables, but still be aware that they are susceptible to interference. But I would say that be careful about despising them because they're in everything. And if you could learn to hack them and learn to use them in a way that reduces the amount of possibilities of interference, they're a really good tool, and you can pull off some tricks that people who just absolutely decide to stay away from them won't figure out. Thanks, guys. Sorry for the long piece there on the audio interface to 3.5 hack, but let's just say if you come up with some other hacks about 3.5, I know Caleb Pike has got a great one where he takes he makes a Zoom H1 have two XLR inputs. It's really neat how he does it. Check out his video on DSLR Video Shooter on YouTube. And there's just tons of little things. And I know he's tested some other of these devices that I mentioned that are more, they're not as common as an audio interface, but they are good options. The Beach Tech is always an option. He talks about the Saramonic one. He's used that and recommended that one. So there are a lot of options, a lot of ways you can get XLR and convert it to 3.5. I just gave you my hacky idea. So check out his videos. He's got some great recommendations. But 3.5 is important to deal with because it saves you a ton of money. And I think you can still get pretty good quality in the price range that we're trying to target. And one last idea, hack, whatever you want to call it, and that is, this is something I heard just recently, and that is you could take a Rode VideoMic Pro or small shotgun mic of that sort that's a 3.5 cable. It's another reason why 3.5 is really common. You can put that into a wireless lav transmitter. There's a lot of new ones from Comica and different brands of this sort, but those turn a shotgun into a wireless shotgun. So instead of running a cable, which is one of the big problems with running a, you know, putting a Rode VideoMic Pro on a boom pole, you have to run unshielded cable, or sorry, you have to run unbalanced cable all the way down the pole and into your recorder. But if you just use a wireless transmitter and receiver, you're going to be putting yourself in a better situation. It's the situation that even Sennheiser considers acceptable, and that is to have 3.5 millimeter cable running just from the mic to the transmitter, and then from the rest of the distance from the transmitter to the receiver, and wherever you are with the recorder, that's a wireless transmission, which they feel more confident about than running a long 3.5 millimeter cable run, right? Which has more vulnerability to interference. Anyway, that was just one more a reason why 3.5 millimeter is a good thing to learn to deal with, and why we shouldn't totally write it off. Okay, thanks, guys. Have a good day.